All right, welcome to our third coaching call. Just got some weird noise going on outside. I think there's a truck or something. So hopefully that passes so that it's not noisy for us. What's going on out there? Okay, can you hear me and see me okay? I just want to make sure if you're here, if you're logging on, can you type in the comments and let me know that you can see me and hear me okay? I look like I'm recording. I look like I'm good to go. Let me just check everything. For some reason, I'm just wanting to make sure everything's looking okay here. That link is looking okay to me. All right. All right, beautiful. So for today's call, I haven't received that many questions, but that's kind of good because the questions I have received are really powerful questions. And I was really quite blown away by them. They're all very, they give me the indication that everyone is thinking about things in a much deeper way. I'm moving into a deeper process through this course of really reflecting and exploring themselves and just taking things to a deeper level. Some of the questions in our previous calls have been more sort of simple, surface level things that have been quite easy to answer. These ones, I was like, wow, these are going to be challenging questions to answer. Not because there's anything wrong with them, just because they are really actually challenging me to think in terms of how to respond to them. So we have an interesting call in store, and I really appreciate people sending through questions because they're great. They really got me like, whoa, I need to really think about how I'm going to respond to these. So thank you to everyone who did send through questions. I just want to make sure I haven't got too many people joining me here live. I just want to make sure that I did put the right link. It could just be that it's not suiting people time-wise. I just want to check I put the right link in our Facebook group. What link did I put here? Just double checking. Yeah, it looks like I have. That's all. I just wanted to double check that. Okay. All right. So what I might do is I might just dive on in because most of you will probably catch the replay. So that's totally cool. All right. First question. My question is around what steps you can take to figuring out what your purpose is. On a specific level, I only seem to know what I don't want to do besides having just an intuitive knowing that I'm here to help and heal. So she has the knowing that I'm here to help and heal, but I can't seem to find any further detail than that. Nothing seems to fit quite right in traditional medicine. I've explored integrative health, but I'm not sure if that's what quite it either. I'm getting frustrated because I feel like time is slipping away and I'm having a hard time sorting out the should to's from the meant to do's. Any guidance would be helpful because I feel like I've been going around in circles with this for about 3 years. Before I dive in, can you just let me know if you're here live, can you just type into the comments and say hello to me and let me know that you can hear me and see me okay? My audio has been playing up on Zoom and I just want to make sure you can hear me. If you could just type into the comments and let me know, that would be amazing. So I'm going to share a few things that I moved through when I was really clarifying my purpose. Actually, I don't have the chat box up. Okay. I'm going to share a couple of things that really helped me when I was working through uncovering and clarifying my purpose because I had, let me just get that nice and bright. No. Beautiful, Carol. Thank you. My voice is doing weird things. Okay. What's going on? Audio's okay, but a wee bit fuzzy. Sorry, guys. I just have to fuss and get everything right. My lighting was looking really good before, and then it went kind of shadowed. Okay, sorry if the audio isn't perfect. I don't have my headset in today because I had that the other day, and it was clicking in and out. All right, I'm going to not get distracted. I'm just going to get into the questions. So when it came to me figuring out my purpose, there was a few things that helped me. So this woman says, I have a knowing that I'm here to help and heal. And so that's a good starting point. And I would ask you to explore further, what does helping and healing mean to you? And in what way would you most love to help and heal? So this was where I began with it. So I knew I wanted to help as well, help and heal. And I spent a lot of my career working in disability services with kids with learning difficulties because that felt like a really big way that I could contribute and help. but it didn't fulfill me on kind of a lasting, in a lasting way. And so what I had to begin to do was unpack a little bit more how, what would be the most meaningful way that I could help and heal? Because there's lots of different ways that you can do it. And I think we need to go a little bit deeper into what does helping and healing mean to me? And if I could imagine the greatest way that I could help or heal others, what would that look like? Now, you might be like, it sounds like you've got an interest in health. You might be like, the greatest way that I could do that is if I could help people break free of certain health conditions, or I could help people feel really happy and content in their body, or I could help people feel them like their most energized, vibrant self. For me, what felt like the greatest way to help and heal for me was I loved watching people learn about themselves and break through what was holding them back. So I loved that process of having someone, helping someone have a realization about themselves, helping someone see something about themselves, or helping someone create an inner shift where they could suddenly break free from a fear or something that was holding them back. And that, to me, I knew I got such a buzz out of that. And so that really led me into life coaching, because I felt like that's going to be the avenue that will help me achieve that outcome with people the most. I loved watching people learn as well. So I knew sort of being in an educational role where I could educate people on things also really fulfilled me. So I dug a little bit deeper into what healing and helping meant to me. I would also actually ask you to think about when you're talking to people, say friends, because we often are doing what we want to be doing sort of with our friends or our loved ones without even realizing. So when my mum would talk to me about her struggles and my friends would talk to me about things that were bothering them, I loved going into that kind of advice giving role where I could share things that had worked for me. I could share books, I could share podcasts, I could share ideas, I could share teachings. And I loved doing that. And so that gave me another clue as well, that I loved being in conversation with people and being able to offer advice. So again, when I started to look at those little clues, it really started to point me in the direction of where I wanted to go. Because for a long time, I knew I was passionate about this stuff as well, but I didn't know specifically how I wanted to apply it. And I thought I wanted to get into yoga and Reiki and health. And then, you know, through asking myself these questions, I realized it was life coaching. I also explored a lot of different things. So I went and worked with practitioners so I could experience what it was like to work in that modality. So I hired a life coach. And it was actually through working with a life coach that I realized, oh my gosh, this is the work I want to do. But I did 6 sessions with her and it really helped me realize that. I went to yoga classes. I worked with Reiki practitioners. I worked with naturopaths and nutritionists. And through working with those people and experiencing their work, it clarified for me what it would be like to work in that space. And that gave me more clues as well. But it was working with a life coach that completely tipped me over the edge and made me say, wow, this is the most powerful work I've ever seen done. I also spent all of my 20s going to workshops and went to Tony Robbins, went to, you know, health and nutrition workshops. And with each of those, I'd walk away from it and think, okay, what was I most passionate about in this experience? What did I love about it the most? And all of this was just like collecting information and finding clues that led me to where I was meant to go. So that's one thing. Maybe you've already been doing that, but it feels like there could be more of that you could be doing. The other thing I started doing was I would just write a lot. I began writing on a blog and sharing what I was passionate about. And through doing that, I began to notice the things I love to write about the most. So sometimes I'd write about food. Other times I'd write about mindset. Then I'd write about healing subconscious fears and beliefs. And then I'd write about spirituality. And through posting on this blog, again, it clarified for me what particular conversations I love to have the most, and also clarified for me, like, because I started getting feedback from people and I really began to see what helped people the most, and that gave me clues as well. So it was all these different things I sort of began We need to really get out into the world to have the experiences, which gives us the information. I'm not sure how much of that you've done. Sometimes if we're sort of just thinking about it and reading about it, that's one thing, but actually getting out and having experiences that give us a lot of feedback is really a really valuable thing to do. That just helped me a lot. And then the other piece of it is journaling with your inner guidance and asking questions, asking every day. Dear inner guidance, dear intuition, I know I have a purpose. I know I'm here to contribute to the world. I know I'm here to help and heal. Show me. Give me a clue today. Give me a sign today. What do I need to know about this? If you're really committed to uncovering this, journal with your intuition every single day. Show me the next step. Show me what I need to know. Guide me to where I need to be. And, you know, Gab, I think I've said this so many times, but Gabby Bernstein so often says this, where she said she would just pray, she calls like to spirit, she would say every day. And she uses the prayer from A Course in Miracles, which is, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say and to whom? And so it becomes a process of surrender. And I remember saying this to the universe. I'm like, use me, show me. I am here as a vehicle to deliver your work into the world. What do you want me to do? Show me. So it's less like you have to figure it out and more like you open up and surrender and allow whatever your purpose is to move through you and allow that higher energy to move through and guide you to where you need to be. So that's the process I went through with it. And as well, if there's particular careers you're interested in, like whether it is life coaching, whether it is integrative health, talk with those practitioners and find out a bit about it. Go and find out more about their work. You know, ask them some questions and gather more information around what it would all involve. And like I said, it will just give you a lot of clues. And the clues will be, you'll notice how you feel. And when you get that feeling around something, that's your indication, yes, do more of this. All right. What's going on here? This happens every time. I always feel like the light makes it better, but then I feel like it creates a lot of shadow as well. So yeah, that's just not really working for me. Anyway. All right. Next question. I'm just going to move on because we've got like these next few ones are really big, powerful questions. All right. So this is someone who's started diving into the inner child work, and she feels like, I'm beginning to grieve the loss of a childhood that I never had. So now in all of my relationships, what I see play out is this tendency to become over responsible for everyone. And it makes me feel exhausted, resentful, and not authentic to myself. Now she's feeling like this comes from her relationship with her mom. And she says, how do I express anger towards my mother, who was and is still aloof, and expected me to know everything in childhood, but yet she's still very critical when I take care of things. I want to come from a place where I can forgive her and forgive myself for our codependencies, and also not emotionally bypassed by just saying, oh, she was doing the best she knew how to do at the time. This is a really big question. And I really had to sit with it in terms of how to respond. So the essence of what we're talking about here is, those of us as children, I absolutely relate to this, who felt like our parent wasn't really there in the way we needed. Let's say mom wasn't really there. She was aloof. She was, you know, my mom was quite self-absorbed, really didn't give us what we need. And so we took on the role of being over-responsible and taking on too much. Maybe we didn't feel fully supported as a child. So we kind of had to grow up really fast. You know, a lot of us experience this. And so how do we heal this? And so she's saying here, she's got anger towards her mum. And it seems like her mum still acts in this aloof way. So still triggers the same feelings from years ago. And she wants to come to a place of forgiveness around this. So there's a few things I want to touch on here, because this is big work. And I just really want to acknowledge that. And I acknowledge you for bringing it up and thank you for asking it. One of the first things I find when we're working with our inner child stuff is we want to begin with really validating our inner child for what she's feeling. Because most of our experience has been, this was my experience, we weren't validated for what we were feeling. So we were feeling all of this stuff as a kid, like, I feel unsupported. I feel like I don't have my mom's presence, my mom's love, my mom's attention. I feel like I'm taking on all of this stuff and I feel angry. But that was never validated. It was like no one acknowledged that we were going through that as a kid. And no one has acknowledged how much of an impact it's had on us. And so the first thing for us to do is really acknowledge that part of ourselves and really validate that part of ourselves and not make it wrong. And actually, first within ourselves, allow ourselves to really feel that and be right in that. Like, you are 100% within your right to feel angry, to feel hurt, to feel let down, to feel resentful. And what I want you to do is actually, I don't know how much sort of work you've done with the inner child in terms of you connecting with her, but I feel like you need to sit down with her and talk with her and actually really listen to everything that she's feeling. Because when we have an aloof parent, they're not really listening, are they? They're not hearing us. They're not acknowledging us. They're not getting it. And so the first step to healing is we have to get it. We can't be aloof to our inner child. We have to be present and really hear her and make her right. So whether, I don't know whether you've done this already or not, but spending some time sitting down in a meditation visualization with your eyes closed, bringing in your inner child, sitting her on your lap or wrapping her up in your arms or sitting opposite her, whatever, and talking with her, saying, honey, talk to me. Tell me, what are you feeling? And whatever your mom didn't give you when you were young, you now, there is this role to play of mothering yourself to be that presence for your inner child that you never received. So whether it was, yeah, attention, being heard, being acknowledged, being supported, being loved, being held, whatever. And I want you to really listen and ask this part of you, what do you need, honey? What do you need from me? Tell me what you're feeling. Tell me everything. Tell me the anger. Tell me the hurt. Tell me the fear. Tell me everything. And I want you to create some space actually connecting with that part of yourself and listening to her, validating her, finding out what she needs and giving it to her. Now, this is separate to your relationship with your mom. This is work between you and you because things are unresolved in there. So that's one thing. The second thing, and this part can be confronting, but this is another part of the process, is for us to take responsibility within ourselves for how we internalize that whole experience in our childhood. Because it's very easy, and this has been my experience, to be a little bit in victim mode because we feel like it was our parents' responsibility to be a certain way and to give certain things to us, and they didn't do it. So we feel a little bit in the victim role there, like you did this to me or you didn't give this to me and I'm angry and I'm hurt and look at all the impact it's had on me through my life now. But that keeps us out of our power. Now bear with me on this. This can be a little bit of a triggering conversation, but it's an important part of the healing. When we realize that as we're growing up as kids, our parents are playing this role, doing what they do, but then everything that goes on inside of us around that is our responsibility. Their actions are not our responsibility, what they did or didn't do, but everything that goes on inside of us around that. Now, it's difficult when you're a kid because you don't have this level of thinking to work through that stuff. But we need to realize there's a part of you that because of your experiences with your mom chose to change your behavior and come into being over-responsible, for example. Part of us makes a decision around who we're going to now be in our lives based on what happened to us. And that's the part we need to take responsibility for. And I know that's really confronting to look at. So for me, for example, because of how my mom was, I chose to step into the role of being her support person and her counselor. So we sort of flipped roles. I became the mom, she became the child. Now me stepping into that role on some level was my choice. I also stepped into the role of putting everyone else before me, making everyone else happy, and discounting my own wants and needs, because I took on the belief that my needs weren't important because no one was making them important. And now I've taken that on as an identity. And all of that happened within me. And I need to own my part in that, because until I own it, I can't change it. And until it's someone else's do, as long as it's someone else's doing, I'm living at effect. I'm not living as the creator. It's like someone did it to me. So we also need to say, okay, this happened, and then I chose to become this person as a result. And I'm at a point where I realize that choice to become that person is no longer serving me, and it leaves me exhausted, resentful, and inauthentic. Okay. Now, I don't know how far you've come in the journey of working through this, but what I want to ask you is, what now is the new way of being you want to step into in your relationships? So if the old tendency is over-responsible, take on other people's stuff, I'm just making up stuff here, but not pay attention to my own wants and needs, take on too much and become exhausted. If that's my old way, what's my new way? If I was now choosing to love and honor myself, to live in my power and do what's right for me, okay, I start learning how to say no. I start listening to what I want and need. I communicate my boundaries. I don't take on anything until I check in with myself and see if I can actually take it on. I remind myself other people's feelings and happiness isn't my responsibility. I focus on just making myself happy, whatever it is. And now this is your work, to consciously work to change who you're being in your relationships. Because when it comes to a codependent pattern between mother and daughter, someone's got to break the pattern first. And I think both of you are triggering each other into the old pattern. Someone's got to show up and be different first. Now I'm speaking all of this without knowing how much of this work you've already done, because I'm just going off a limited information in a question. So I apologize if any of this you have already been practicing, but I'm just giving you what I can feel here is the work. So that I had to do that with my mum. Again, I was waiting for my mum to be different so I could feel different. And I came to realize she was never going to change. So I had to change. So I began to break our pattern. And my pattern with her was she would call me up in a negative mood and offload onto me. And because I was the people pleaser, helper, counselor, you know, the mum, I just took on board all her crap and had to sit there and listen to her and help her when really I needed help and I wasn't asking for it. I was just looking after her. So I had to break that pattern. And I had some pretty difficult conversations with her quite a few years ago around, I can't do this anymore. I can't sit here and just listen to your stuff. I'm like, if you're going to call me, please call me when you're in a positive place and let's have a positive chat. I'm not interested in negative stuff. I also very often said to her, I'm like, Mom, I'm calling you today because I need you. I need you to listen to me. I need you to help me with this. This is what's going on for me. And it took us a long time, but I got to a place where I reset the dynamic. I had to stop defaulting to being the mom, and I had to shift into being the daughter and saying, Mom, this is what I need from you. So I had to stop sort of being the martyr and taking on board everything. It's a long process, but you can break the pattern. Someone has to break it first by choosing to be different. And then when we talk about forgiveness, forgiveness is a really difficult one, because you're right, we don't want to emotionally bypass. So that's what, you know, really validating what you were feeling is so, so important. Forgiveness means, well, in this situation, forgiveness can mean it's around choosing. So we know forgiveness isn't making that person's behavior right, and it's not avoiding and discounting what actually happened. But it is about saying this happened. That's a fact. It's impacted me up until this point. Absolutely. But do I want it to continue to impact me? And I'm going to choose to forgive simply so I can be set free. Because I'm tired of running this pattern in my life and I want to change it. And so I'm currently processing something from my relationship with my mom around a place where I felt like she didn't protect me, where she really, really should have stepped in and protected me and she didn't. And there's a lot of anger. Now, with that anger, we process that ourselves. We don't necessarily process that with that person. There's a whole heap of healing I'm doing around my mom that I'm not even talking to her about. She doesn't even need to know about it. Because if I try to talk to her about this, she's just going to go defensive and it's not going to help my healing. So I have all this anger towards her that I'm processing now with some really beautiful therapists who are supporting me. And there's a lot of pain there around, why didn't you protect me? And now my forgiveness work here is not in any way saying, oh, well, she's doing the best she could, or, I'm just going to choose to let this go. The forgiveness for me is, I no longer want to be bound by this. And so I'm forgiving that this happened, and I'm taking my power back from it. Because for as long as I'm not in forgiveness, you have, this event has power over me. Versus me saying, I'm going to see that this is something that happened. I'm going to take all the learnings and lessons from it. And now I'm going to step into a new space as a result. It's difficult to articulate this stuff, but I hope some of that's really landing and making sense and supporting you. But like I said, any of my repressed emotion, I feel it's important that I'm processing it outside the relationship with her. That's a big thing that I'm doing and getting the proper support with that. Again, I'm now choosing to come into my power. So I'm breaking the pattern of being in that old way. And for me, the forgiveness is I take the lessons and learnings from the experience and I use it as a catalyst for change. That's how I'm doing it. This is big work, so thank you for asking, and I hope there's been some things in there that have really helped you. Okay, another big one, big questions. Another question around healing childhood stuff. I have an old survival strategy, and I've created with the inner child part of me that has created this survival strategy. It was a way of her keeping me safe, and it was very brilliant at the time, but it no longer serves me. And all the power behind this pattern I feel could be redirected into other things, including staying present. So her pattern is, she goes sort of unconscious, I think. She sort of escapes the moment. It's a way of staying safe. And instead she wants to be more present and in her power. That's what she says. So she says, my tendency is I check out. And she's wondering how to work through this. She's like, do I keep communicating with my inner child? I feel like I need to have her trust. So the trust of my inner child, so that we can sort of guide her in a new direction. Again, this is like really quite big, complex inner work. So thank you for asking the question. It's showing me that you're thinking about things in a really deeper way. And so she said this question is primarily about harnessing and focusing our energy in new ways. So if our energy has been really going into our old patterns and old unconscious tendencies, we're wanting to refocus that energy into things that are going to take us to where we want to go. So we have to understand with any pattern of behavior that we run, all behavior serves a purpose. Every single piece of behavior that you run serves a purpose. And there's a reason that you run it. And there's a reason that you've set it up. It meets a need in some way. So we have behaviors that meet a need to feel safe. A lot of us have these. And they're behaviors that don't always serve us because we set up these behaviors perhaps when we were a child. So recognizing that's really important. And this woman probably already knows that, but I just want to reiterate that we never want to judge any of these patterns of behavior, even if they're really unresourceful. We created them at a time where they kept us safe. Again, just to be, you know, very transparent and honest, I'm working through a pattern at the moment of insomnia, where when my partner sleeps over, I don't sleep. So the nights that he stays here, I'm just wide awake all night. And there is something, and I'm working with therapists around it, something in me that set up a pattern of behavior of staying very awake and alert through the night as a form of self-protection. And that pattern of behavior right now is totally not serving me. It's really damaging my relationship, but a part of me created that at a certain point in my life to keep me safe. So we just want to bring in that understanding. So we're never judging what's happening. We're aware that there was a purpose to it at some point. And what we need to understand is that behavior is meeting a need and a deeper need for us. So if we want to change the behavior, we can't just try to eliminate a behavior that's serving a very true purpose for us, like serving a very real purpose. We instead want to look at what can I sub in that's a better, more resourceful, more helpful, more empowering pattern of behavior that still meets that need, but in a much healthier way. And that's a really, really important thing. So what I'm recognizing is, for me as well, this feeling, this being safe feeling, is very important. It is for most of us. But if my body doesn't feel safe, it can't relax. And so my old, very young part, you know, a part of me said, stay awake all through the night, that will keep you safe. And instead, what I'm doing now is, what is needed for me to feel safe that has nothing to do with needing to stay awake all night, but how can I still, because I don't want to just try to eliminate that pattern of behavior, because then I'm going to be left with a feeling of unsafety that's not being taken care of. So I'm bringing in a whole new range of tools and ways of being and practices and things that make me feel really safe. Little things like my partner and I have a little ritual now that before we go to sleep, I need to have a little connection time with him so I feel very safe before I'm getting into bed with him. We have some cuddles, we kiss, we talk. He'll sometimes do a little guided meditation with me to help me relax. And we have this little pre-sleep ritual that's part of really relaxing my nervous system and helps me feel safe. So I'm still meeting that need to feel safe, but I'm doing it in a much healthier way. If that makes sense. You know, I'm working on a lot of other things as well that help me feel very safe in my body. So this is another key part of it, is understanding we may still need some behavior there, but behavior that is just a more empowered, resourceful way of meeting that need. So So when this woman's asking, how can I harness and focus my energy in new ways? Well, we want to take that energy that's creating that pattern of behavior and redirect it into a pattern of behavior that will still make you feel safe, but it's very healthy. And again, I'm working with limited information in the question, so I really hope I'm kind of in the right direction here with where I'm taking my answer. So I do hope this is landing and resonating. But if you could explore or even ask her what would really help her feel safe and actually work with her need, but then also what you need as an adult, as an empowered woman, and how, what behavior you can set up to create that same feeling, but that actually keeps you in your power and moves you forward. I also feel, I'm just getting a sense that this is that part of this pattern of behavior is about escaping your body. I don't know if that lands. That's part of my pattern as well. So I've been doing a lot of work on embodiment, a lot. Pretty much all my personal work at the moment is on embodiment and how to feel really safe in my body, how to get deeper into my body, how to ground into my body, how to not escape my body up into my head, how to just feel really at home and safe. So anything for me that gets me deeper into my body, yoga, massage, stretching, a bath, working with my therapist on embodiment work, EFT tapping, is actually helping me stay more present rather than escaping. So I wonder if there's some work around that, around deeper embodiments in connection with the body, practices that really relax you into the body and make you feel safe so you don't need to escape. Because when we hear check out, we often feel like we're going somewhere else. Let's see if there's anything else I can pick up here that might be helpful. And look, this is a practice. So if we have a pattern that we've been running for ages and it's really unconscious, and this is the work I'm doing at the moment, is I try to catch it in any moment when it happens. So I'm unpacking a pattern as well where my partner will do something that triggers me and I completely shut down. I notice this tendency to retract and pull all my energy into my body and I just completely shut down. And then I won't talk and I'll sulk and I'll want to get really upset at him. And so what I've noticed is the minute I feel it coming on, so I begin to feel this closing in happening in my body, my mind starts to fill with really negative thoughts, my breathing goes shallow, I feel it, I do something to intervene and change it. And I'll usually get up and I'll just go to the bathroom and take a few deep breaths and look in the mirror and come back to myself to stop the pattern taking me over. And I'll be like, Connie, you're safe. It's okay. You've got this. You don't need to go into this pattern. Everything's okay. And then I do the opposite of what I want to do. So if my pattern wants to take me into closing and disconnecting from my partner, I instead do the opposite. I'll go into the bathroom, take some deep breaths into my body, and I'll come back out and just say to him, hey, babe, can I have a cuddle? Can I have a hug? And as soon as I then open instead of closing and I get a hug from him and we connect, I'm good. So I'm finding ways to break the pattern of behavior as soon as I start to feel it start to come in. I snap myself out of it. You have to interrupt the pattern and interrupt it as soon as you can. So if this pattern starts, I want you to do something crazy, like instead jump up and then shake your arms and your head and your legs and go blah, 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 and just do something completely crazy just to break the pattern, or put on a song and just dance through it. You have to interrupt the pattern. So that's been working really well for me as well. I don't know if any of that resonates specifically with what you are needing help with, but I hope there's something in there that helps. All right. Actually, last question. This is good. I'm glad we only had a smaller number of questions, because I wanted to give in-depth answers to these because they were really powerful questions. So let's go into our last one, which is about our body. So we were doing some work around this. This woman has said in module 4 and 5, we were doing some work around this. And this is another really powerful question, which I wanted to give, really wanted to feel into and give some good time and space to explore. So this woman says, I've been seeing a lot on social media about body neutrality, which is really interesting because I had never heard of body neutrality before. And so I actually had to do a bit of Googling to learn more about what it was. But this woman's saying, so there's this movement around body neutrality at the moment. And she says, at first, to me, it seemed like a really good thing, because literally how I feel about my body has dominated me every day since I was 7, and I'm now 45. So a really long time. And I feel like everyone, I go up and down with how I experience my weight and how I perceive that others are experiencing it. So if I follow body neutrality and the principles of that, instead of saying, God, I hate my fat legs, I would not think about them, right? Is that what she's saying? If I do all this, if I'm doing all the self-care, then this should be fine. But does this then mean that I'm avoiding my feelings? Right, because that could kind of be perceived as, oh, I'm a bit of spiritual bypassing, like I'm just going into not looking at it and avoiding it. Okay. Diet and exercise are where I constantly fall down, because I always feel myself, it's what I feel like my self-care should always be about, is about diet and exercise. So these should be my pillars of self-care list, or should I try and be neutral about it and hope I can come to this naturally if I concentrate on other areas of my life first? Yeah. Really powerful question and really interesting. And I was sort of thinking about this for a while, about the really what the answer is to this, because Like, I'm aware of our body, like, it's such a charged area for us as women, for so many of us. And as this woman so beautifully said, and I'm sure so many of you can relate, this is something she has had to work through her entire life. And for some of us, this starts so young, 7 years old. And the first feeling I actually had around this, and again, I don't know how much work you've done around this, but seeing our past few questions are about the inner child stuff, I do wonder if you have revisited what was going on around age 7 and what were the messages you received or what was happening around you that activated this awareness of your own body and how it looked or how it felt. Because we usually have key defining experiences that set up these patterns, that begin them. And I wonder, was there something going on with your mom or your dad? Or I've talked to clients about this, and you know, it can be as simple as someone making a comment or as simple as a parent modeling a certain type of behavior. And it kickstarts this whole awareness where we're like, oh, I was never even thinking about my body until now. And all of a sudden now it's all I'm noticing, right? So I wonder if going back to connect with that younger part of yourself and really sitting with her and talking with her and understanding what was going on for her at the time would help you see where and why this pattern of behavior got set up. We can do some healing around it like that. So this body neutrality, so what I was reading about, because I was sort of just trying to understand this concept. So I think the body positivity movement is when everyone's been like, oh, let's talk about loving your body and my body's beautiful and I'm beautiful just as I am and I love this part of myself. But then people have been saying that's still not that healthy, versus body neutrality being like actually taking the emphasis off the body altogether and focusing on other areas of life, or sort of being like, my body doesn't define me and my beauty. My body is, you know, this incredible tool that I can use. It has all these beautiful functions. It keeps me healthy. It's my home. Sort of more of that neutral perspective of it, is just so that if anyone else hasn't ever heard of it, because I hadn't either. So this is kind of new for me, this approach, although I realized I do talk about it a little bit, don't I? And as I was reading this question, I realized that this is part of the work I've been doing in myself that it's actually really helped me, is that as I realized I don't have any real emphasis on my body at the moment in terms of my weight and my appearance in the way that I used to. I mean, I had an eating disorder for my entire 20s. And I had a very destructive relationship with my body and with food, very destructive. And that doesn't exist for me anymore. And I was someone who would obsessively look in the mirror literally like 50 times a day. Everything was about checking how tight my clothes were and whether I felt fatter after eating a meal and whether my skin had broken out that day. Did I have any new pimples? Every morning I'd wake up and feel my face, because I always had really bad skin. And I would like feel my face and check if I had any new pimples. And I was just obsessional about it. And that doesn't exist for me anymore, which I realize has probably come from this neutrality piece of, there's a couple of things. One thing was I did begin focusing on other things in my life besides my body. I think when I really got onto my purpose, I began just investing so much more energy in a bigger, something bigger than how I looked, in, you know, contributing to the world and being of service and making a difference. And I think that was one thing that really helped take my focus off myself and my appearance, when I put my focus more on my work in the world and what I was passionate about and being of service to the world. I also, because I was doing that, and it was important for me to be an example of health and wellness, my focus began to shift off my weight and onto health and wellness. So eating with the intention of practicing self-love, eating by listening to what my body was asking for, eating in a way that energized me and made me feel very vibrant because I wanted to show up in the world. So I realized, for me, this is just me personally, when I was in my 20s and my focus was very much sort of on myself and being loved and validated and accepted, I was obsessional about my appearance because it was kind of everything to me. When I shifted into doing my true work in the world, everything around my body changed, because my focus was now on something bigger than just me. And also the role of my body began to play a different purpose. My body wasn't about being loved, particularly when I was younger, it was about getting love and validation from men. Instead, it moved on to I wanted to feel healthy and vibrant every day because I needed my body to help me show up for my work in the world. Like, we had to be a team. We just had to be. So that's one piece of it, that because when we come at self-care or we come, you know, at this perspective of taking care of our bodies, I think it's always important to look at what's driving that. Is the energy behind it, I don't like my body and I want to fix it. I'm not happy with this part of my body and I've got to try to learn to love it. Or is it just, is my intention, I just want to be in harmony with this body that I have. And I just want to be able to go and live my life without thinking about it. And so then what drives our self-care and our self-love is different. It's coming from a place of, it's not a should to and a need to and a have to. It's a dear body, you and I, let's be in harmony. Tell me what you want and need from me. And sometimes your body might be like, I don't want to go to the gym. And I, you know, my body for a while said to me, stop working out. I used to go to the gym all the time. I stopped working out because it was stressing my body out. And I actually came into just doing more slower, softer movement that just felt more self-loving. And that became my intention, was like listening to what my body was asking for. So yeah, I'm just trying to sort of draw on some things that had worked for me over the years. But when we come more into this question around body neutrality, and so do we, because we've kind of got extremes here, right? So we can either say, you know, I hate my fat legs, or like I would say, I hate my weight, or I hate my skin, or whatever it is. Then body positivity is kind of like, oh, I love how I look, and I love my skin, and I love my legs, and I, you know, which feels a little bit like avoidance. And neutrality, what this woman's sort of saying is maybe we just don't focus about it and think about it. My feeling about it is that it's both. So I think we definitely want to shift out of anything that is negative and critical and based on hate, because that's not going to ever create harmony and wellness in your body. I have found bringing in love rather than necessarily positivity has been helpful for me. So I've often spoke about using coconut oil body massage as a way to connect with my body and just feel it and touch it and send it some love and gratitude through my hands. And like, if I ever try to say, stand in front of the mirror and look at my body in the mirror and say, I love you, like, I find that really hard to do. But if I'm not looking in the mirror and I'm just looking at my body and connecting with it as a part of me, that's helped me. And to give it some massage, or like, you know, wash her in the shower, or anything that sort of like is very touch-based for me has been very healing in just me, how I feel about my body and how embodied I feel. And the self-care again that I feel like I'm doing hasn't been about trying to improve or change my body. I think that's another really important point. The intention behind it hasn't been to change or improve my body. It's just been to listen to my body and to offer it the support and care that it needs. I don't know how much of this is landing, but I'm just trying to offer anything that I can that's coming to mind around this. So again, we just want to look at, if we're going to put something on our self-care pillars, we really want it to come from a place of, with the right intention behind it. So, but the neutrality thing is really important, because I have actually found the less obsessive I am about my body, the more naturally my body has just balanced out. When I stopped, I don't count any calories. I don't pay any attention to what I eat. I eat intuitively. I eat based on what my body needs. Last night, my boyfriend and I had pasta at 9 p.m. The other day we had pizza. Now that used to throw me into an absolute tailspin. But what I find is the more that I trust my body now and I eat based on what I feel and what feels right at the time, the less I'm focused on my weight, the more it balances out. So I do get this sort of perspective of focusing on other things. Definitely. Yeah, I do think that was a key part of it as well. But we're not trying to avoid our feelings. I think that's a really important part. And, you know, maybe we kind of move up the scale here. So maybe we start with, you know what, I'm feeling such a negative energy towards my body today. And then you might breathe into that and be really present to that and be like, wow, that's so painful. And that hurts my heart. And that's, you know, came from me at 7 years old. And look at the impact this has had on me. And so you might breathe into that. And that might be your starting point because you're just facing it and being real. And then you might sort of say, you know what, I want to learn how to be in harmony with my body. I want to learn how to listen to my body. I want to learn how to just feel safe and comfortable in my body. And you might sort of work with that as an intention. And then you might communicate with your body. Body, is there anything that you want or need from me that will help us be in more harmony? Tell me what you need. Tell me what foods you like to eat. Tell me how you love to move. And for me, the relationship with the body is an important one. Then moving into maybe some love and gratitude of like, okay, well, let me rub in my body cream today and just give thanks for each part of my body for carrying me through this life. And then I let it go. And then I go on with my day and I go and focus on all the millions of other really important things that I have to do here in this world. So I guess for me, I see both. I'm like, focusing in on it to pay attention and give it what it needs. But then, you know, then that's a small part of your morning practice. And then you're on just doing your day, doing your life, living your life and focusing on other things. So that's been my practice. And I think it ties into what you've said in that I don't think it's about completely ignoring the body. But I think we give it the love and attention it needs to be happy and balanced and well, and then we just get on with our lives. And invest our energy into things that we're really passionate about, that feel like our purpose, that feel like we're contributing, that feel like, you know, I've got someone in my journaling course at the moment, and she did such a brave post in our group talking about her goals. And she said, Connie, I've been setting the goal for 20 years to lose weight. Every year I set that goal. And every year, no matter what I achieve in my life, I'm never happy because I haven't lost the weight. And, you know, when we look at that, it's like, how often we can put things on pause or hold and not experience the joy of life because we feel like our body's holding us back, or we need something to change in our body for us to experience that. And so that's where this sort of probably body neutrality place really comes from, is like, let's just take our attention off it altogether. Because for me personally, I still get tripped up in my appearance all the time. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, because I've spoken to friends about this and they're like, oh, really? We had no idea you still have body stuff going on. I don't understand it. And it's all very personal. Each individual person will have their own body stuff based on their life experience and how they perceive themselves. But there's been so many times I haven't wanted to be visible because of my body. Haven't wanted to be on video, haven't wanted to show up on social media, haven't wanted to go do a public speaking event, haven't wanted to be, you know, my boyfriend's a photographer, haven't wanted him to take a photo of me. And what has happened is every time I've just stepped through that and even been like, I'm not happy with how my body looks today, but I've got work to do in the world. I'm on a holiday with my boyfriend and I want photos of this. I need to get on video today, do my work in the world. When I choose to put my focus on something bigger than how I'm feeling about how my body looks that day, I actually break through it. So I think it's the times that Yeah, I've just noticed that the times that I've stopped myself and then have just sat by myself in my own space becoming obsessional about how I look, that it's been really, really destructive. So to some extent, that neutrality piece again ties in where it's just like, I've got things to do today and my body's my vehicle to do it, so let's go. Yeah. I'm not sure if any of that's, yeah, landing and resonating and aligning, but that's been... Yeah, I wanted to try to share everything that I feel like I've worked on around that, because I absolutely empathize with how much this can consume our focus and energy. And maybe try this, you know, if this neutral approach is new for you and you haven't tried it as yet, give it a go and see if it works for you. See if you just, as you begin just focusing on other areas of life, your body just begins to balance out, because it's, I think that does just happen. I've actually found that sometimes if we, the less we are focusing on something, the more we just give it the space to balance itself out. But at the same time, we are, I think it's really important to still be connecting in and really deeply listening and asking from a place of love what we can be doing for ourselves to support ourselves. I hope that makes sense and I hope that resonates. Like I said, your questions have really got me thinking today, really thinking in a really different way. I mean, in fact, my boyfriend was here when I was beginning to collate the questions, and I was saying to him, I'm like, whoa, some of these questions are just like really, really powerful. Like, you're really thinking about things in an incredible way, and you've really stretched me in a big way to think about how to respond. So thank you for asking such powerful questions. And I really do hope that what I've been able to offer today has been helpful in whatever way you needed it to be. But I just, yeah, I appreciate you taking the time to really think about your questions and pose them to me in a way that, yeah, hopefully will be of value to everyone who listens to this call. So thank you. Thank you for posting them. All right, my loves, that's it for our call today. Like I said, I'm really glad I had a lot of space to go into quite a bit of depth on those questions, because there was quite a lot to them. So thank you for asking them. I'll get this recording uploaded for you now. And yes, enjoy. We've only got a few weeks left of Slow Down and Tune In. We're coming into looking a lot more at your intuition, your inner wisdom now. I know there are... there is a lot of content in this course. So if you're not fully up to date with all the coursework, don't worry too much. Work through it in your own pace, in your own way. You'll have ongoing access to it. So just sending you lots of love as you keep moving through this journey. And thank you again for your beautiful questions. And yeah, it's really powerful to support you all through this. So I hope this has been helpful. Sending you lots of love. Thank you, Helen. I'm glad that there was some great ideas in there for you to work with and practice. Thank you. Beautiful to connect with you all again. And I will talk to you soon. Have a gorgeous day. Lots of love. Bye, everyone.